to the Gym Podcast. Uncut, unfiltered, unreal.
Welcome everyone to the Gym Podcast. Welcome folks. I'm your host, Jimbo Fisher. Joining me this week as always is the one, the only, Randy Darsh.
Hello everybody. It's a happier week 2/week 3 episode. I'm happy to be back as always. Should we just jump right into last week's games?
We need to, because I missed them all, Randy. You got to fill me in on what happened here.
Okay, so I remember last week talking about how we were thinking week 2 was going to be a boring week, but it actually ended up being a very interesting week, I would say.
That's what I'm hearing.
I'm just going to kind of highlight some of these games, and you can kind of give your thoughts based on the box score, like your box score reaction. I think that'd be a good idea.
I like that.
Because some of them kind of pop out at you. So we'll just go down the list. In the morning, we had LSU 23, Louisiana Tech 7. Thoughts?
LSU is obviously really overrated. Just how overrated they are, it's hard to say. I think that Garrett Nussmeier is probably the single most overrated quarterback in college football. That's for sure. And seeing this box score doesn't surprise me too much.
I tend to agree about Nussmeier. I don't know.
Pure hype. The ESPN hype around him is unbearable.
He's a game manager. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but don't try to make him to be more than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the same vein as LSU, I also wanted to talk about Troy versus Clemson because LSU played week 1 and everybody thought both of these teams looked so good, sort of.
No.
got so much from LSU. But Troy was leading 16-0 at one point, and Clemson squeaked out an 11-point win.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson...
27-16.
Clemson isn't who they used to be, you know? And I think we all know this, but again, the hype machine, you know, just can't let it die. I think both Clemson and LSU are in pretty high fraud alert at this point, and I think time will vindicate us in that regard.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go to another one. Georgia, 28, Austin Peay, 6.
Comedic. You've got to be feeling pretty good right now, don't you, Randy, about your odds in the SEC? I've got to figure
out. No, I don't at all. I'm never going to feel good of going in. Well,
it's Georgia.
I'm not going to say anything.
You own them. You own them. We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, again, like, I mean, Georgia's fraudulent, but even this surprises me. Like, I could see this against, like, a G7 team, but not an FCS opponent, you know?
I did want to kind of bring up a point is I think it's important to remember not to overreact to teams sleepwalking through their cupcake game. I mean, it's kind of common to just completely ignore them. Granted, there are some opponents that you just have no business. No matter how little preparation you put into it, you should still win by,
it's
like, 50 at least.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. But hey, that's why I said don't overreact too much to week 1, because you never know what's going to happen week 2 and so on. Teams are going to regress. Teams are going to improve. Mm-hmm. Still a long season ahead of us.
Right.
So speaking of big scores, Oregon 69, Oklahoma State 3.
This is a new segment we're doing every week. This is my elephant in the room award. It goes to Oklahoma State and specifically Mike Gundy. A shocking box score, wouldn't you say? Like genuinely, you don't see that kind of score in power opponents facing each other. You know, like this is
you genuinely don't.
Unbelievable.
Power conference game.
Yeah, if we can call it the Big 12. But I mean, let's remember now, Oklahoma State went 3-9 last year. They lost their final 9 games in a row, finished last place in the Big 12. Man, like this is dire. Like this is getting really dire for the Pokes.
They just need some juice to the program or something because, like, look, I get that they don't necessarily have SEC Big Ten money and that they don't have Oklahoma money.
But
they're
they
not,
do!
Like, officially
they do,
brothers.
Though!
Well, they don't have T. Boone Pickens anymore.
He's,
and his
okay,
state's not really
there's no way he didn't include in his will to donate all his money to Oklahoma. There's no way.
Not all his money. He did give some. But I'm saying they don't have a super mega booster. Okay. The point being, let me finish. Point being, they are not that poor.
Sure.
Like, they have a little bit of money. They're not so destitute that they can't put together some recruits, put together some classes, get some transfers, make some moves, do what they need to do. Like, they are not in this dire of straits. They shouldn't be in this dire of straits.
I agree. And, I mean, for what it's worth, this is one of the few games, because I was just so shocked by the scoreline, I went back and watched the highlights. And it's like, on every single Oregon score, you could get the sense that Oklahoma State just had, like, no energy or like willpower. You know what I mean? They just kind of gave up on plays, and Oregon just piled it on them as a result.
Yep. Another game I actually wanted to talk about was Texas 38, San Jose State 7.
Wow.
Don't let the box score fool you. It was a very slow start for Texas. And I'm just going to be honest, like, Arch Manning did not look good.
Still.
His stat line's going to lie to you, where it shows 19 of 30, 300 yards, four touchdowns. But I noticed, I'm glad the guys on the SEC network also picked up on this. Every single one of his touchdown throws were really late. And it's not going to work against real opponents. Like, they should have all been thrown a second earlier. He's not seeing the field.
Interesting.
So that's concerning if you're a Texas fan. I'm going to be honest. Like, sure. See if he can actually make some improvement throughout the season. I get he's a first-year starter, but he's been in the program for a while now.
Yeah.
So he's gotta get it together.
I agree. It's the Arch Manning hate hour, and I'm here for it.
Another one I'm going to want to get your opinion on.
Yes.
Number 11, Illinois, 45, Duke, 19. God.
So, dude, it's, again, like, it's Duke. Like, guys, it's Duke. Like, we need to take a step back here and remember that they beat Duke. Illinois, dude, I sometimes wonder how much easier my life would be if I was just, like, born an Illinois fan. Look at their schedule. Stop what you're doing and look at Illinois' schedule. It's a joke. Hey. No, it's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke.
It's a joke. They did play Ohio State, but it's like they play Ohio State and nobody else.
They'll lose that game, and then what? Like Purdue, Rutgers, Northwestern. Like it's shameful. Like this.
Might actually be their second toughest game.
We might actually be, if we're being real. And it's at Wisconsin too, by the way. So it just saddens me that Illinois is probably gonna like sneak their way into the playoffs, but they'll be so fraudulent. They're this year's Indiana. Illinois is this year's Indiana. Quote me on it.
I tend to agree. Moving on, we're going to move on to some SEC games. Mississippi State, 24. Arizona State, 20.
Not even an
upset.
With
a thrilling last second, very long touchdown pass. Not a Hail Mary, but a long, drawn-up play. And it was impressive.
I know I'm a big Big 12 hater, but like, is anyone actually surprised by this? If we're being real?
No. Okay. Nobody should be surprised.
Okay. I'll leave it at that. Arizona State's done. They're done. It's over. Like, we don't have to talk about it. They're done. They had their fun. It's done.
I will give Mississippi State's quarterback a lot of credit. A lot of their early season success so far is because they have a legit quarterback now. Blake Shapen. He's put up 600 yards, 550 yards in the season so far. Four touchdowns, one interception. He's looked good and he's had to sling it. So
we'll see how they do in SEC play. Obviously, a good start to the season
for the Bulls. Well, the reason I bring up his quarterback play specifically is because, like, ultimately in this new era, mm-hmm. if you're a school like Mississippi State, what you have to hope for is to kind of do what Wisconsin did in like 2011 with those Russell Wilson years. It's like build good defensive line, build a good offensive line, mm-hmm. build a solid defense, and just have a quarterback.
Just have some guy.
He doesn't even have to be generational. Like, Russell Wilson's really good, but he's not a generational quarterback, and that could push you to a legit championship contention. So, like, I'm just saying, it's how you have parity and how you can build a team in this era if you're a school that doesn't have the same resources.
I agree. Good for them.
All right, next up,
yeah,
we have a stinker shocker of the week. Not really that much of a shocker. South Florida, 18. Regular Florida, 16.
Regular Florida, that's funny. I'm actually really bummed I missed this one because I think I would have had a really fun time making fun of the SEC, if I'm being honest, in the Discord. But I don't know. Like, it's interesting. Like, is Florida just bad or is South Florida good? Maybe it's both. I don't know.
Both. It's a little of both.
Okay.
Florida, I mean, Billy Napier, he says all the right things. He's got some... He kind of like knows how to run a program, sort of like he's got the locker room still somehow.
Yeah.
But it's just like he can't make decisions to actually win the game. If that makes sense.
Right.
I don't know how to describe it. Like, he's just not a good in-game coach. He's not a good coach in general, but he's a decent CEO.
I get that impression too. Sunbelt Billy, as they call him.
Alex Golish for South Florida is both. He's great at both.
Yeah, I'm high on South Florida. I think they're definitely one of the. They're going to be like the fan favorite G7 school this year, and We'll see how they do next week. We'll talk about that later.
They built a great program. They do play in Miami next week, and we'll talk about that. But they had built a great program under Alex Grealish. We tried to warn everybody the two times we played them. We tried to warn all of you. I'm just saying.
Yeah, last year you struggled, if people recall.
We struggled both years. Both years we played them.
Yeah, crazy. Was it, wait, real quick, didn't Alabama play at South Florida? Am I remembering this correctly?
Yes. That's amazing. Yes, you do remember that correctly.
Whoever their athletic director is, like, to pull those strings, that's mighty impressive. I gotta give them credit for that.
It is?
Yeah.
I agree. next up, I just want to touch on this. Florida State, 77, East Texas A&M, 3.
Yep.
Is there literally anything to get from that?
They're legit. They're the real deal. Florida State's the real deal. They're the best team in Florida, so...
I understand you can't put too much stock into a cupcake game, especially the box score, but you can still get an idea of how combobulated a team is. Yeah. Like, for example, like I just talked about how Texas looked concerning with a very slow start versus whoever they played, San Jose State. You can still tell when a team has it together, even though the score is going to be the same no matter what.
Right.
That makes sense. And Florida State came out hot. They did everything they needed to do. Yeah. They look legit, and I'm going to see if they can keep that up throughout the season. I'm going to be interested in keeping tabs on them, you know, help our strength of schedule,
of course,
whatnot.
Yeah. It won't be a problem. I'll say that. I think Florida State's going to win the ACC, so this won't be an embarrassing loss by the end of the year.
Good. Next up, we have Oklahoma 24, Michigan 13, and this is not nearly as close as the score suggests.
So I would like to hand out my weekly "This Was Their Super Bowl" award to the Oklahoma Sooners. Here's the thing. The fan reaction I have seen from Oklahoma is it truly as though they've just won the Super Bowl. And I think what they're forgetting, I think what everyone is forgetting, is that Michigan, I'm sorry, Randy, with all due respect for last year, Michigan is not a good team. Can we agree on that?
I could 100% agree.
Sharon Moore, he's a stepping stone, you know, he's an interim head coach.
Get through the sections.
They're just kind of, they had him there essentially to kind of get through, you know, all this stuff. And now that it's passed, I think they'll be more than happy to let him go after this year and then, you know, eventually start trying to kind of crawl their way back with a legitimate coach. But until then, Michigan's going 7-5. This is not a big win, Sooners fans. I'm sorry.
All right. Speaking of the Big Ten, I'm going to go ahead and dish out my This Was Their Super Bowl award. Ooh. And I'm going to dish it out to the Minnesota Golden Gophers beating the Northwestern State Demons, 66-0. They're way too happy about that, man.
Dude, the fireworks thing, they're just like, here's the thing. No, seriously. Like, their whole shtick is, we ran out of fireworks, and they had it on the big, you know, Jumbotron. Why were you lighting fireworks against Northwestern State? Like, that's my question. You know what I mean? And it was during the day. It wasn't even a night game. Like, what are they doing up there? Do you know, Randy?
To be fair, we beat our team, Louisiana Monroe.
Sure did.
At least Louisiana Monroe is an FBS team, but we beat our 73. And honestly, it felt, after week one, that just felt good. We scored a touchdown on literally every single drive of our game.
More.
Except for one. And the reason we didn't is because the refs called an incomplete pass. They reviewed it, overturned it to a completion. But because they blew it dead, the receiver couldn't progress forward, even though he was clearly headed for a first down, so we had to kick a field goal instead. But other than that, we scored a touchdown on literally every single drive. And Ty Simpson, I mean, he went 17 for 17, 250 yards, 3 touchdowns.
That's true.
Just saying.
No,
I mean, I know it's Louisiana Monroe, but I can be happy about it.
But I mean, like, literally, look. So actually, like, again, take the time, look up Northwestern State University and look up how they performed in 2024. They quite literally went 0-12. In the FCS. This might literally be the single worst team you can schedule in the entire country. 0-12 in the FCS. And Minnesota fans, it's just like, yeah, like they're raising Lombardi.
A D2 team legit would probably be a better opponent. 100%. A good
D2 team. Dude, a good D3 team, like Wisconsin Whitewater, I think might have a chance. It's that dire. So yeah, it's pathetic. Pathetic.
We also had Iowa State beating Iowa 16-13. Iowa State is quietly 3-0 with a couple close wins, but they keep getting these They're like cockroaches. They always survive.
Dude, they don't play again. Like, and they don't play anybody. They don't play anyone good. I'm so dude.
They don't have a single ranked game on their schedule, but they're gonna go like 10-2 with like a bunch of 2-3 point wins versus some mid teams and get blown out in the playoffs.
This is I honestly, Randy, this must be how SEC fans felt for all those years when you saw Wisconsin in the Big Ten West. If I'm being honest.
Like, this honestly, y'all weren't even that bad. Like, we respected that Wisconsin at least had an identity. You had a solid identity that you tried to build around, that you could easily put a good quarterback in the system, and all of a sudden they're making a push for the playoffs or the championship.
But like with the thing again that we keep coming back to this topic, it seems, with the Big 12. But the real problem with the Big 12 is it's one thing if the whole conference kind of stinks, which it does. But like now that Texas and Oklahoma left, there isn't a possibility of there being even one truly great team. Like, at least in the Big Ten, for all those stinker years we had, at least we knew, okay, Ohio State's pretty good. Okay, at least Penn State's somewhat legit. With the Big 12, there's literally no one who's going to stop Iowa State from going undefeated. And that pisses me off, because the second they get to the playoffs, they're going to be exposed. And it's a wasted slot for a good team. See, I sound like an SEC fan. I'm becoming an elitist. I don't know. But it really does piss me off, man.
It feels good to be vindicated. I'm just going to say that. Right. Ole Miss beat Kentucky 30-23. I just think this one is interesting because Kiffin did have his yearly stinker or two, but he actually managed to win the stinker game. So I think that it's good for them, you know.
Yeah, I'm always high on Lane Kiffin. I think that Ole Miss is perpetually like one of the more underrated teams in the SEC. So I'm glad they survived this year, at least for their sake.
Right. That's all the games I have to talk about, unless you have anything else. I know you said you didn't even watch.
Well,
them, so.
I did want to mention the Wisconsin game briefly. Folks, we got to fire Luke Fickell. The final score is not indicative. We were only up, I believe, 14-10 at half. And I'm like looking at this on my phone, right? Like periodically checking at the wedding. And just like there's this pit in my stomach of like, oh my God, are we actually going to lose this thing? They ended up winning, of course. I think, 42-10 was the final score. So it might look like a blowout, but it wasn't. And Randy, we will talk about this later, but I've got a bad feeling about this Saturday.
You guys have these like really slow starts no matter who you play, and then you kind of pick it up.
But we always start slow. I don't know why. I don't get it. This has always been a Fickell problem. Ever since he was hired, we always start slow. And it's just
well, the style of Wisconsin football has always been like a methodical approach where you don't start fast, but not starting fast doesn't necessarily mean you're starting slow, if that makes sense. But now with the way Fickell has built the team, a not fast start means you're just gonna be down.
Yeah. I guess
you're gonna be out of the game before you even get going.
Exactly. So I'm nervous, man. But we'll see.
All right, so you ready to move on to next week?
Oh, I suppose we could. We got some good games coming up, folks. Should be a fun week three. What do you got, Randy? The MC of the
night. All right, so I am not looking at unranked matchups right now, so if you see any, you know, let me know.
I'll take a gander.
That you want to talk about. Do you have anything on Thursday, Friday?
Thursday and Friday. Thursday, of course, we've got NC State versus Wake Forest. I guess we can talk about this since it's the only game on that day. Both of these teams are somehow undefeated. Do you think either pose a threat of actually, like, you know, maybe being an ACC contender this year?
No.
Okay, moving on then. I do want to talk about, on Friday, one unranked matchup, Colorado versus Houston. I'm like all in on Colorado losing this year. Do you think Houston is one of those teams that can humiliate them?
No, I think Colorado's... Colorado's actually starting a new quarterback. They're starting that third string quarterback that they had. He came into the game and played really well. I mean, it was versus Delaware, but
really,
you know,
I missed this.
It's just interesting to see what they're gonna do. They had a very close game week one versus Georgia Tech, which I can respect. Georgia Tech's a very good program these days, but I don't think they'll be embarrassed. I don't think anybody's going to embarrass Colorado this year, but I think they're gonna be a normal Big 12 team, but with Deion Sanders as the coach, if that makes sense. They're gonna be like 6-6, maybe 8-4 during a good year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're just going to be a Big 12 team. That's very just mediocre. And,
mediocre.
You know.
That would really sum up the Big 12 in one word. Mediocre. It's a shame.
Right.
All right. So Saturday. What do we got, Randy?
Saturday morning, we have Clemson, Georgia Tech in the morning. This is my Jim Botcast lock of the week.
What do we got?
Georgia Tech takes down number 12, Clemson, at Bobby Dodd Stadium. Georgia Tech has built a very good program under Brent Key, who went to my high school, by the way.
No way.
And he, yeah, they, yeah, he did. They have a great offensive line, solid defense, quarterbacks are good. They got an all-around just decent team, and they've been building upon this decent program and trying to take better advantage of the fact that they're right in the heart of Atlanta.
True.
Like, they are really trying. And it can be kind of tough at times to be in Uga's backyard, but they've developed their own identity that's kind of separate from that. And I think with the ACC as a whole having been looking better, I think that helps their brand recognition, their brand a lot, if that makes sense. Like, they're not seen as, like, the weaker team in a weaker conference.
Yeah. I mean, if you recall last year, they went toe-to-toe with Georgia. I think it was like 8 overtime or something crazy.
And they got robbed of that game. I'm just going to say it.
They did. And they had some big wins last year. So against Florida State, which ended up not being big, but also against Miami last year. And so I think they're certainly capable of like competing with just about anyone. And I think, you know, as we mentioned before, dude, Clemson is not that legitimate. So I definitely tend to agree with you. I think Georgia Tech definitely can win this one.
I did kind of want to barely touch on this game. We have Oregon, number 4 Oregon, going to Northwestern at 11 yeah. o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Do you think Oregon's going to try to hang 70 again?
Okay, yes. And
are they just bullies at this point? Are they making fun of other teams?
So again, like, think about the Oregon fans. We know. Not calling anyone out. But think about that personality that you, when you think of an Oregon fan, like, they, it's weird. Like, their team really embodies that. You know what I mean? Like, bully is a good way of putting it. It's like they really need to make sure that you know that they're better than you. And so they're not okay with just stopping at 49-0. No, they've got to keep going pedal to the metal until they're up by 70, which I can understand. Like, I do get, you know, from like a toughness perspective and intimidating your opponents. But at a certain point, we do need to take a step back and acknowledge that it's Northwestern. You know, like a lot of teams can't do this to them. They just choose not to. So I don't know. Like, what do you think? Like, do you agree with like the whole Oregon fan?
I get what you're saying, okay. Because it's like there's a difference when Alabama, understanding when we would play opponents, they just did not want to play us, and the reason was because they was going to be the most unfun, physically tough game they've ever played.
Yeah.
They were going to get physically dominated, and they didn't want to play because it's so hard on their body, and they didn't want to deal with Oregon. It's not quite the same. It's more of, we're going to embarrass you.
It's speed.
And it's different.
Yeah.
It's different. It's not, doesn't have the same scary factor to it.
It's stat padding. And I wanted to say, we kind of brushed over this, but this kind of section I wanted to talk about. But for like a September Heisman, I think Dante Moore is right now in the driver's seat for winning the Heisman for one reason only, dude. He is on the most stat padding friendly team in the nation. And you look at their schedule, you look who they're playing. They're playing a lot of stinkers like this. Northwestern, Oregon State, Rutgers, Indiana, right? A lot of games where, like, they can just put on, like, 50 easily. And they're just going to keep stat padding, dude. And that's fine. But have fun when you're in the playoffs, dude. Have fun when you face Ohio State. Like, it's the same story every year with the Oregon Ducks, dude. They can destroy these bad teams, but the moment they face a legitimate, you know, like, talented opponent, they crumble. And so I think we'll get the last.
That's very true. They did play their toughest game is Penn State. They did manage to avoid Ohio State this year somehow. But you know, whatever. Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but I do think Dante Moore for Oregon's probably gonna be one of the Heisman favorites just simply because he's on a stat heading.
Just because of the stats, dude. It comes down to stats. The Heisman voters love that stuff.
Very true. So let's move on to the next 11 o'clock game. This is one we're probably going to have to talk about quite a bit.
All right.
We have Wisconsin at 1-1 Alabama.
I believe that's number 19 Alabama. Is that correct? Dude, here's the thing. Number I was 19, thinking about yes. this. I mean, I'm like saddened that the one, like literally the one time in my life where Alabama's kind of not like a juggernaut, my Badgers have to be at their all-time low. Like, if this was 2017 Wisconsin, 2016 Wisconsin, 2019 Wisconsin, I'd feel pretty good heading into this game. But given where we're at, it's just like, damn, we really suck.
I do wonder how much the Wisconsin team and how much Fickell has gotten them to believe that they can win this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I remember seeing it when y'all played Oregon last year. When you played number 1 Oregon, granted that was in Camp Randall, you believed you could win the game and you almost did.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he's able to get that same level of buy-in from the road this year.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah.
Especially on the road.
Yeah, and like the problem is, like, again, we touched on this, the slow start thing. I think Bama is just being, with how explosive they are, I fully expect Bama to have like a pretty big lead early on. Like I could see this easily being like 21-0. And my concern isn't just that I know we're gonna lose. My concern is this going off the rails, rather. You know what I mean? Like 21-0 turning into like 45-0 at half. Like that's not even
considering we have something to prove against a real opponent.
I know. Like you guys were clearly pissed off, it seems like, from the Florida State game. And obviously want to make a big statement heading into the Georgia game, which is coming up the week after. And so it's like you said.
It's the worst possible position Wisconsin could ever be to have to play this game.
Teams hate playing Alabama. And I get it. So I don't
because know. Because that's another thing. Even when we're down, it's like there's so much pressure to try to beat us. Like to take advantage of that opportunity.
Best case scenario for Wisconsin would be something akin to actually last year's Penn State game where we did lose, but the final score was 20-13. It was a very ugly game where it was like 14-13 in the fourth quarter. It looked like Wisconsin might have a chance, but we ultimately blew it. Like if it's a game where like Wisconsin at least like keeps it close at half, I'll be happy. Like that's kind of all that I'm realistically hoping for this one.
The way to describe Wisconsin, weirdly enough, is like it's almost like you guys look like a way more flawed and raw version of Alabama this year.
Wow!
Like I don't know how else to explain it. Whenever I watch you guys play,
I'm gonna pay attention to this now, Randy. I don't know what to make of that.
Like you, Fickell is trying to build his team the way DeBoer has kind of sort of already built our team. Mm-hmm. The thing is, DeBoer has been here, what, 3 years less? So it's like, what's Fickell's excuse at this point?
Only 1 year, but inheriting, you know. I think the real problem with Wisconsin, and you're going to see this on Saturday, Randy, we don't have an O-line. And it's barbaric because we used to always have a, like, truly elite offensive line. One that would have routinely first-round draft picks from our offensive line. Routinely NFL players who would go on to have great careers in our offensive line starting at any point in time. It's what we're known for. And now you look at our offensive line, dude, and it's just, it's pathetic. Like, our run game has nowhere to go because they're running into a brick wall every single play. Against teams like Miami of Ohio, against teams like Middle Tennessee. Imagine what Alabama will do to this line. I shudder to think about it, Randy.
And again, that's the thing, is your offensive line does sometimes figure it out by the third quarter, fourth quarter against those teams. But it shouldn't take that long to really...
Yeah.
Dominate those types of opponents physically. Like they should be able to just come out and do it and not have to look the game.
Exactly. When you're playing a team where you're that mismatched in talent, like you should just build a raw strength, raw power through them. Like you shouldn't be just getting locked up in the front, you know, front of the line on every run play. So I don't know, man. I don't know. We know what's the tragedy of all this, Randy, if I'm being honest, and maybe I'm jinxing it right now, but our backup quarterback, Danny O'Neill, is actually not that bad. Like, if you look at his stats, you look at...
You said your backup quarterback?
Because our starting quarterback, Billy Edwards from Maryland...
Oh, that's right. You always have, that has been a thing in our Fickell, where every single starting quarterback has gotten hurt by, like, two.
But I like Daniel. I actually like Daniel Neal. If you look at the highlights, for what it's worth, just take, like, 5 minutes to watch the highlight video of Wisconsin versus Middle Tennessee. Like, he's competent, even though it's against a bad opponent. Like, he's actually, like, he's taking shots downfield, which you never see of a Wisconsin quarterback. But, like,
again. Right, and that's what you're going to have to do is take shots downfield. You got to keep our DBs honest.
But there's only so much you can do, man, when you don't have a run game. And it's hard to watch a Wisconsin team that just doesn't have a run game. Like, it goes against everything I believe in, man. But this is what happens with the Dairy Raid, right? This is what happens when you abandon your team's identity in year one, and we're paying.
And your built-in recruiting advantages in state too.
We're paying the price for it now. And even if we wanted it, we're trying to kind of go back to the run game. It's going to take years minimum to rebuild. And so
I don't think it'll take that long. I think you could do it by next year. You could have something a little respectable, but it depends if people can survive that long.
We'll see. We'll see how this game will be indicative of that. I think we'll lose. I know that, but like if he can keep it close, I think he earns himself some more time.
Do you want us to get him fired? Do you just want us to?
No, I'd rather, because like, again, Wisconsin losing to Bama. Talk like that. No, what's going to get him fired isn't Wisconsin losing to Bama. What's going to get him fired is Wisconsin losing to Maryland or Washington or Minnesota, right? Like, it's one thing to lose to a good team, but like, we have to win. We have to win convincingly against these bad opponents. And he's not doing that. So that's what gets you fired.
True, makes sense. All right, let's move on now to the 2:30 slot. We have Georgia at Tennessee. Georgia always wins this game, so you know I'm going to pick Georgia. But
Brandy, Georgia kind of stinks this year, and I think Tennessee is actually kind of underrated. Where do you stand?
You got to be careful when you talk about Georgia that way, because they do this every year where they have a stinker of a game versus some FCS team, G5 team, whatever, and then they turn it up for conference play. They know what they're doing.
I think it's a feint. They're kind of like just like messing with us a little bit, maybe.
Meanwhile, Tennessee is going to like beat up on East Tennessee State 72-16. First of all, you shouldn't be giving up 17 points to East Tennessee State. That's what's like worrying about it.
Yeah.
Because Georgia is built to beat teams. That's why we always beat Georgia, and that's why Georgia always beats Tennessee, is because Georgia is built specifically in a way that beats Tennessee, and we're built specifically in a way that beats Georgia.
I hate to interrupt you with this, but I was clicking on the Tennessee game against East Tennessee State, and I didn't realize Cade McNamara is the quarterback for East Tennessee State. What a fall from grace, folks.
That's rough.
I didn't know that Cade McNamara, if you recall, was at Michigan initially, then transferred to Iowa the year that Michigan won the national championship, and now ended up at East Tennessee State. That is, dude.
That's pretty rough.
For the homie. Anyways.
And you know he's not getting big NIL money from that.
No, not anymore. So who do you think wins this one, though? Tennessee, Georgia? I mean, it sounds like Georgia. You're leading Georgia. Yeah. I like Tennessee, though. I still like Tennessee in this one.
We also have, in the 2:30 slot, kind of interesting. I'm only bringing this up because I want to bring up Texas Tech.
Mm.
We have Oregon State 0-2 at Texas Tech. And Texas Tech, I think they have like the most expensive recruiting budget. And they've been opening up the checkbook for NIL for players.
Really?
And it's interesting to see what they're building in Texas Tech. I think they're really trying to posit themselves as the Big 12 premier program. And they very well could do it. And for the sake of the conference, they kind of need to.
That's true.
Like, let's face it, it's not going to be Iowa State. It's just not.
They don't have any, yeah. Texas Tech's a weird one, man. Like, I feel like, in a weird way, like, the only thing significant to come out of that program in my lifetime was Patrick Mahomes. But, like, no one really associates Mahomes with Texas Tech. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what else do they have? Like, I can't think. I guess their identity was the air raid, but now, you know, Mike Leach, rest in peace. I guess, I can't remember the last time I sat down and watched a Texas Tech game. Does this make it casual? Exactly. I don't know.
Their games are rarely on at a time whenever you would actually watch it. It's hard. There's always just other games to watch.
Right.
That's what it boils down to.
Like there's several
I have more teams, national implications.
There's several teams in the state of Texas I'd rather watch. You know?
Yeah.
But I agree with your point, though. Like, the Big 12 does need a leader, and I didn't realize this. I'm looking back here. Texas Tech very quietly went 8-4 last year in the regular season, so not too bad. I am curious to see, I guess, how they perform this year, because it seems like there's not really a front runner in the Big 12, so someone's got to win it.
Right. Next up at 3:30, we have South Florida at Miami. Do you think the Bulls have any chance? Yeah. Do you believe?
I hate to say it, Randy, but I really don't believe. I think South Florida's good. I think they're a good team, and I think they'll go on to win like a lot of games this year. But Miami's the real deal, dude. I'm convinced about Miami.
We'll see. I think it'll be interesting. We don't know how much of the Notre Dame game could have been Notre Dame having a bit of a hangover from the championship run, but you never know. You never know.
But Miami had the swag. Regardless, Miami had they found their swag. They got their swag back, as we've discussed.
They did.
So Miami with swag is a very powerful thing.
In the 6:30 slot, we have Florida going to #3 LSU. I have a strong suspicion Florida might actually win this game. I don't know why.
No, I'm with you, dude. Because you want to know why? LSU is overrated, dude. They should not be #3.
They're going to be way overconfident. And Brian Kelly, they call him Big Game Brian for a reason.
That's true. I don't know, man. Like, I mean, I admit there are very overrated teams in the Big Ten. Penn State shouldn't be #2. Likewise, LSU shouldn't be #3. There are much better teams in each conference, and I think that might be at a minimum that'll be exposed. I think at a minimum LSU is not going to win by a lot.
I agree. If they win, it's going to be close, and it's because Garrett Nussmeier, again, he's a game manager, and they have this issue of not being able to actually getting it into the end zone. Like, yeah, they can technically put up yards, but they just don't score.
Right. Ugh. Sickens me.
We also have in the 6:30 slot Texas A&M playing at Notre Dame. And this honestly feels like a must-win game for both programs. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as much Texas A&M, but...
No, I agree. My question for you, my question of the week, Randy, is Notre Dame going to be the first ever 0-2 team to be ranked in the AP Top 25? Think about it.
It's possible. They're number 8 right now.
It's ridiculous. They haven't won a game. They're 0-1 and they're number 8. What is going on? I get it, but I don't get it. You know what I mean? I don't get it.
Especially because Texas A&M, they'll be catapulted. Everybody's going to recognize they have a lot of talent, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. A&M, I mean, A&M, for what it's worth, like, certainly can win this game. I think it being at Notre Dame does kind of put things, like, a little bit in the Irish's favor. But even then, dude, like... I'm sorry, Notre Dame fans. You had your fun, but I think this is probably a bit of a regression to the norm this season.
Regression to the norm for Notre Dame is about 10-2, but we'll just see how the season plays out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let it go from there. At 6:45, we have Vanderbilt at number 11, South Carolina. South Carolina is a team I'm very high on this year, but Vanderbilt just destroyed Virginia Tech. I think 42-20.
Vandy's going
to
win, dude. Vandy's going to win. That's my lock of the week.
I think it might be too much going to South Carolina. I think it might be too much.
Nope. Lock of the week, Vanderbilt over South Carolina. I'm sorry, Hashbrown 1-2. I really am. But I do not care for South Carolina's coach. I think Shane Beamer, dude, it's weird. It's weird. I feel like society on the whole is so eager to call out Nepo babies like Deion Sanders' son. We love calling out Nepo babies. But no one but me is brave enough to call out Shane Beamer as being a Nepo baby. Why is this, Randy? What's going on?
Because he's likable.
I don't think so. I'm sorry. It's just like social media, but I don't like him. I don't like him.
He's taken South Carolina in a positive direction. They're a decent program. They play hard. They play the right way. He says all the right things.
That's why.
Players buy into
him. He's not real. He's not real, Randy. He's fake. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's real enough. He's more real than like PJ Fleck or something.
I mean, who isn't, man? Who isn't?
That's true. Very low bar. I guess the last game that I'm seeing that I really want to touch on is Minnesota playing at Cal. Why do I feel like this is one of those games they win 17-14 and celebrate like it's the Super Bowl?
I mean, every Minnesota win is like the Super Bowl. Here's the thing. I like to see Cal win for multiple reasons. I think Cal is like one of the funnier teams in college football. So what's funny to Cal, about me about Cal, right, is in stark contrast to Oregon fans, I think Cal fans are like hyper aware of who they are. Like the handful of Cal fans you see. And so anytime Cal wins a game beat against like Texas Southern, who they just beat last week, every time they post that, you just lost like the woke agenda meme or whatever. It's got like, it's just so dumb. Like
all the Cal stuff in the background. Well, it's so dumb and it's self-aware. I appreciate
it. Self-aware in a way that Oregon isn't. And Oregon's very, you know, like arrogant. Like, no, we're not elitist, even though they are. You know what I mean, man? It's just like, so, I mean, I really am rooting hard for Cal here. But no, Minnesota's going to win this one, like you said, like 17-10 kind of a thing. And just keep celebrating, man. It's always a Super Bowl with them. It's always a Super Bowl. And it just, I don't know what to do with those.
What's crazy, you should, on one hand, it's like, internally, you almost want to appreciate a team that treats every game like the Super Bowl, but they do it in such the wrong way.
Yeah. They don't realize that. Say it.
Go ahead.
You say it first.
No, you say it.
You know what, fine, I'll say it. I think it's one thing when... I can appreciate a team that treats every game really important. I think Bama did that for years under Saban, right? Like every game was do or die. I get that. And I wish my team had that, dude. I really wish we came out guns blazing against Middle Tennessee State, right? But the problem is, like, this is the real conundrum, is at the end of the day, Minnesota fans are incapable of taking a step back after that win and realizing, okay, that was a pretty bad opponent. Like, I'm glad we won, but it is what it is, right? We took care of business. It's not that. It's literally treating it like, dude, we ran out of fireworks, bro. Like, look out, guy. Like, shut up. Just stop. Why do you not realize this isn't legit?
Okay, what you're saying. Ah! And this kind of like makes me think people were complaining about DeBoer's mannerisms on the sideline versus Florida State and just how he is in general. But like, I appreciate his even keel approach and mannerisms.
Right.
Like, no matter what position the team is in, he always kind of looks the same. And I can appreciate that now after seeing certain teams like play, because he is who he is, and he knows how to get the most out of his play. Doing gimmicks.
Yeah. Dude, I've been like, this is gonna sound weird, man. After Bama lost to Florida State, I don't know about you, I was watching, like, I was just like going down this YouTube rabbit hole of like looking at videos of Nick Saban and like 60-minute interviews of Nick Saban and like kind of trying to understand like the difference between him and like everyone else, right? And one thing that I think made Saban so great is like he was able to like keep this demeanor so consistent. Like, he was always like just kind of locked in against every single opponent, good or bad, to an inferior degree, because you guys would beat Georgia, you would beat LSU, you would beat Ohio State, just win the national championship, and then like the next day he's back to work. But like, it was real, damn it, it was real, it was authentic. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a gimmick, it was just actually who he was as a person,
right?
And you just don't see that, man. You certainly don't see that on the PJ Fluke. I'll tell you that much, dude.
Authenticity is what it boils down to.
Yeah. Why is it so hard to find, man? We're keeping it.
That's kind of what DeBoer's struggling with right now. It's like he's being authentic, and I appreciate that with how even keel he is. Mm-hmm. Like, even during the ULM game, like, he was pretty even keel, but we could see him coaching hard in the fourth quarter up by 60, which is what we wanted to see. Mm-hmm. But you can tell he's actually trying to make some sort of coaching change, philosophy change to keep the pressure up on the players. And it's authentic.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough, right? Like, I feel like we talk about authenticity in coaching all the time. Like, you know, we just talk about Shane Beamer and stuff, right? And how I feel differently about you in that regard. But I'm glad.
But that's the thing. I think your judgment is clouded by seeing PJ Fleck so much that it's you're seeing. No, what Shane Beamer is PJ Fleck. If PJ Fleck was actually authentic, it's like an authentic version of it, because it's a little toned back. It's a little dialed down. He's an emotional, hyper-positive person.
Sure.
And he kind of like plays into the game. I think he's more self-aware than you give him credit for.
Okay. Well, I'll try to view this with a new lens as he loses to Vanderbilt this weekend. I'll see his response and really analyze it from that perspective. Any other games, Randy?
Right. That's all I had. That's all I had.
That's all, folks. Well, Randy, this has been a fun one. It's been fun chopping it up with you. Folks, thank you all, as always, for listening to the Gym Podcast. It's been fun, and pray for both Randy and I as we head into a very, very big and decisive Saturday morning game as Wisconsin takes on Bama. Until then, folks, as always, high tide.
For Wisconsin.